You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network. We are coming to you live from all over the state. I am in Radio Park in Racine, up the coast in Marinette, a.k.a. Christmas City, USA, is Mr. Pete Schwabe. And then all the way over in Madison at World Headquarters for Civic Media is Mr. Dom Lee. We make up the Yader Hay Triangle, and we are happy you are joining us this evening. If you want to be part of the conversation, simply call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842, 855-75-Civic. Leave a comment on that live stream. We are currently streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. Still lots of great programming in our second hour. Coming up in just a little while after the 6:30 news, we will be welcoming back to the show Martin Alvarado, who is from the Madison Central Library, talking about all great things going on at the library, both in Madison and around the state. Last time he was here, he literally had like a list of 7 libraries in the Civic Media area where stuff was going on. So that'll be great. He'll be talking about all the things happening there and, you know, give us some book recommendations as well. Then we'll be wrapping everything up with the nightcap, so don't go anywhere. Stick around. Have some fun. And also, if you want to contact us via the Civic Media app, you can do that as well. Download the app wherever you get those apps, and then you can call, text, leave a voice message. You can listen to shows live all over the world, maybe even in space.
What?
That's my goal. Wow. My goal is to get the Civic Media app on an astronaut's phone and just say, look, just tune in for a minute. Give me a minute. I'll take a minute. And that's what I want. I want to hear someone on a space shuttle or the ISS before they take it down to say, we listen to Civic Media in space. I will be the happiest boy in puppet land. You have no idea. But still, you can always be part of the conversation by downloading the Civic Media app. So good first hour, guys. I learned a lot about sports.
Did you?
I always learned so much. Do you know why I learned a lot about sports? Because as Tony on the live stream put it, Mike Clemens knows slightly more than Pete about sports. So it's always good having them both here as like a, you know, just giving me all the information I need.
Mike Clemens' pinky knows more about sports than Pete Schwabe.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll put that on a can of Jolt Cola. Yeah. Don't know the reference, folks? Go back to civicmedia.us/shows and listen to back catalog of our programs. You can do that anytime you'd like. That's called a plug. All right. Let us get to the question of the night. Let's restate the question of the night and get to our text messages and hear from the people tonight. Happy birthday, Mr. Jack Nicholson, 89 years old. It is his birthday, so the question is, what is your favorite Jack Nicholson movie? Let us know. Drop a comment. Send us a text. Give us a call. Let us know. We'd love to hear from you. Dom, let us go to the text line. What are the people saying?
Let's do it. All right. We have Andrew from Maine. This is not totally related to the question, but he said Pete's nightcap / what he learned can be that Pete Wilson has a birthday today, and he is still alive despite the info from the celeb birthday site he uses tried to tell him.
Wait, Pete what? Wilson, the former what? California governor?
Wait, what's happening right now? I have no idea. I feel like Dom and I have been totally wedged out of this part of the conversation. Yeah. What?
I don't know what's going on either.
You might have said it at the very first initial start of the show.
I feel like my face. Okay. My face right now is a reason to watch the live stream because I am so confused.
Okay, so Andrew from Maine, Pete's nightcap, what he learned can be that Pete Wilson has a birthday today and is still alive despite info from the celeb birthday site he uses. Tried to tell him. Is Pete Wilson the former governor of California? That's the only Pete Wilson I think I know.
Yeah, it says.
Greg's recommendation though from now on, and I'm using the other site because you're right. Yeah. I don't need all these influencer birthdays.
That's what it was. Yes,
or Pete Wilson for that matter. So thank you, though, Andrew.
And then Andrew also said Jack Nicholson movies. His limited screen time in A Few Good Men is iconic. But perhaps my favorite is the movie he did with Helen Hunt, displaying some quirky traits that would be considered neurodivergent these days. And then he said, as good as it gets is the movie I was thinking of. So
I love that he sent the text, couldn't remember, and then he said, he's like, that's just very, very funny to me. I once saw a stage play of A Few Good Men, and it was fantastic. And we got to the point in the move in the play where it was the most famous part of the movie. And you ask yourself, well, when this line comes up, is one of the most clipped pieces of film in the past, what, 20, 30 years, when they always went like, you know, the greatest films, blah, 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 all that kind of thing. And you're like, how is he going to deliver that? Is he going to do it exactly like Jack Nicholson, or is he going to do, you know, and he right. did it in a, he did it in a way, this, I wish I remembered his name. He's an actor. He's a local actor in Wisconsin. He did it in a way where he said it and brought absolutely no attention to it, really. In fact, it's that thing of, instead of like, because in the movie, he screams it. So of course you're like, oh, good Lord. He says it in a way that is so bone chilling, like as if to say, like, everything from this character's experience has seen so much horrific, everything from war to bureaucracy to whatever. The way he said it made you go, oh, this is more, it was more disturbing than watching Jack Nicholson scream it, because he just said it as a matter of fact, in a way of like, you'll never understand because you'll never see what I've seen. And like, oh, wow, that was, it was pretty amazing. I still think about that to this day, that this guy read that line better than Jack Nicholson.
Yeah, it's interesting because Aaron Sorkin wrote the, it started as a play before they made it a movie. And what you're saying, Greg, reminds me of Brian Cox's Hannibal Lecter compared to Anthony Hopkins. And Anthony Hopkins is great. There's no question about that. But Brian Cox was so chilling and eerie and read it a different. You know what I think we should do? Let's all give our interpretation. Let's say you can't handle the truth like we would say it if we were Jack Nicholson in A Few Good Men. Who wants to go first?
Let's go with Dom.
Dom.
You can't handle the truth.
You said it like a, you like say like Three Santa Claus. That sounded like a Santa Claus who's trying to make a kid understand why he's on the naughty list.
I'm not good at that.
You can't handle the truth.
All right, I'll go next. Okay, about this. Let's sing. You can't handle the truth.
Wow.
I said it very, like I was at like a family Sunday dinner talking to a child. So that's why I'm not an actor.
Again, another interpretation, talking to a child. Interesting.
Right. All right, Greg, you're up.
All right, here we go. Here we go. me. I. Lemon face, lion face. Lemon face, lion. Okay, I'm preparing here. You can't handle the truth. There you go.
You all did it differently.
That's how I did it.
They casted the right guy, apparently. We never made it into the auditions.
Yeah, there you go. I guess.
We had our own takes. I think that's okay.
There you go. Yeah, absolutely. What else we have on the text line here?
Yeah, we have Anna from Madison said, "Hi, Pete and Greg. My favorite Jack Nicholson character is Garrett Breedlove in Terms of Endearment. He and Shirley MacLaine were great together. He won a Best Supporting Oscar for that role." Wow.
He's won three Oscars.
Wow. And then,
is he a three Oscar guy?
He's a three Oscar guy.
Three Oscar guy.
Wow. Those are rare.
Well, really quick here, Pete, what about you? What is a movie that really you enjoy?
It's without question to me, Chinatown. Love his playing Jake Gittes, just outstanding, and a great movie too, written by Robert Towne. And I also like The Last Detail, where he and Randy Quaid they're transporting a prisoner, and they're two Navy guys. It's just a great performance, underplayed by Nicholson. Like, everybody thinks of his big roles, The Shining, and You Can't Handle the Truth, but a very subtle actor when he needs to be. That's why he's so
great.
It's
also amazing that Randy Quaid used to be somebody we were like, yeah, and now we're like, oh, no. I love him in Little Shop of Horrors, the original, the black and white version.
Wow. Nice pull.
That is a dark film. That is a dark, dark film. And what's funny, and I'll get a little movie nerdy right now. So the original version, sorry, spoilers, but the film is like 65 years old.
Yeah, you've had your chance.
The original version of the movie with Jack Nicholson in it, at the end of the movie, Audrey 2 wins. Audrey 2 eats Seymour. And like that's it. Here's the fun fact. We all know the Rick Moranis, Ellen Green, Steve Martin, Bill Murray vehicle of like 1986. And if you've seen it, you know how it ends. Except that's not how it was supposed to end. They actually spent $1 million to film the ending where Audrey 2 not only wins, she brings in all of her alien cousins and whatnot, and they take over Earth. That's the end of the movie originally. And they said it was one of the most depressing endings. People were so angry that they had to spend more money to change it into the, oh, we did it, we made it, we're hand in hand in love. And that was the original version of Little Shop of Horrors. Audrey wins. And that to me is like mind blowing because I saw that movie as a kid. And
so, what
I
year was
it.
That?
The Rick Moranis one?
No. The Nicholson one.
That was, I think, like 1960 something. Let me look it up here.
My gosh. Hey, Dom, can you pull Suddenly Seymour, the song?
Absolutely.
Black and White. That one came out 1960. Yeah, it's okay. 66 years old. It's a Roger Corman movie. And if I'm not mistaken.
So Nicholson was probably like 20?
It was pointed as like, remember like when Leprechaun came out like back in the late 80s and nothing happened, and then Friends came out and they reissued the video boxes to say starring Jennifer Aniston because she's in that movie before she made it big. They did the same thing with Jack Nicholson. We're like featuring the first film of Jack. I'm like, okay, all right, calm down.
Genius.
Yeah.
We got another one there, Dom, from Melissa. We haven't heard from Melissa on Willie Street in a while.
Melissa!
Yeah, she said, hi there, boys. My favorite Jack Nicholson movie has to be my all-time favorite movie, Terms of Endearment. A few
there. There you go.
Great movie, though.
Oh, my gosh. That one was just built to destroy you from top to bottom.
Absolutely.
Goodness gracious. Over.
Brutal.
Dom, did you say? Oh, wait, what's up? You're pointing at the screen.
There's also John Murray from Madison just texting in now. He said, The Shining is my fave, and One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, he always sells it. That's my favorite, too, John Murray.
Do Tyler's text. That's a good one.
Where's that at? Oh, we have Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids. There once was a nurse named Ratchet who stared with cleave like a
hatchet.
Can
we say this? Okay.
All she oversaw felt the grip of her claw till Murphy's Law came along to match it. Perfect. Okay.
Well, I mean, we're going to hear more poetry from Martine later, so
that's right.
I love it. But yeah, I mean, oh my gosh, Dom, did you? I can't remember. Did you say whether or not there was a favorite for you? I mean, are you?
Yep.
I mean,
I like One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest for sure. I also read the book, so that helped too.
Wow, but look at you, man.
Wow, look at
you. I'm a bookworm. Right? What can I say?
This research, my goodness,
Dean's going to love me.
My name is Dom. I love Jimmy John's, and I read.
We just got another one from our pal John Murray, who says, "Hard not to love an actor that sells it so hard that he really becomes the character." Yeah, that's definitely.
In the time we have left, Pete, you are a writer, director, producer, actor. How do you feel about the whole like going method thing? Like, do you like it? Like, have you worked with people who do the thing of like, call me by my character's name, treat me like I will talk. They will talk like their character. They have to stay in character all the time. Have you experienced that?
I haven't. I kind of respect any method that gets an actor to where they need to be, even though I might think it's a little nuts or whatever. But I think it's interesting. There's a great movie called Marathon Man with Dustin Hoffman and Laurence Olivier. And Laurence Olivier plays a war criminal. And they were on the set together. And Dustin Hoffman stayed up for 3 days in a row to prepare for a guy who looked like he hadn't slept for 3 days. And Laurence Olivier said, "You should learn how to act, dear boy. Then you wouldn't have to put your body through such hell." And it's a great quote.
Well, we're going to take a really short break. When we come back, we're going to ask a really quick question. Are you drinking enough water? And if you're not, why? Is it because you don't like the flavor of water? You're going to have to find out more when we come back. And then we're going to be talking to Martine Alvarado from the Madison Library. So don't go anywhere. You are listening to Martine. Listening and dice. What did I say?
I was just giving him a shout out.
Sorry. You are listening and or watching Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network. You can always get in touch with us, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream. We are currently streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. Always get in touch with us. Text, call, or send a voice message through the Civic Media app if you'd like. Still ahead, Mr. Martine Alvarado is coming back to the show to talk about all things library. He's from the Madison Central Library. He'll be talking about what's going on this month, what's going on in the area of the Madison Library, and he may have some information on a library near you. And plus, as always, we wrap things up with the nightcap, so don't go anywhere. We are going to have some fun this evening. So there's a story that came out that now I sort of just lost, and I apologize, totally unprofessional of me, about water consumption and the fact that, what was the number? It was like 37% of people do not drink enough water, Pete?
Yeah, 37% are water snobs. And it says we are picky about our water to the point where 37% of us don't like it. A new survey found that 2,000 adults found that we have very strong opinions about what water we drink. 65% mm-hmm. say they're picky, and more than half claim they can tell what kind of water they're drinking without being told. And I'm like, so what? First of all, it's water. I know some of it tastes better. There's like Fiji and Evian and Perrier and San Pellegrino and all that. There's tap water. I mean, I got on the water train about 5 years ago. Okay. So it's not fun. And I had this conversation recently with my mom. She doesn't like water, but she drinks a ton of tea. I just started drinking like 100 ounces a day and my body is adjusted, but I literally stand at the sink every couple hours and I'll have two glasses of 12. I can't sip it because I feel like I'm not getting anywhere. It doesn't particularly taste great unless you're parched. Mm-hmm. So I kind of force myself to drink it just because of the health benefits. But I don't know. Do you guys drink water?
All the time.
I think so.
Well,
I mean, you drink it, but I mean, do you drink enough?
You asked the question, buddy. We answered it that's what they say in law school. They say when they ask a question, what time, do you know what time it is? You say yes. You don't say what time it is. You say yes. You asked the question. We answered it.
Don't play lawyer ball with me, Greg.
It goes back, though, to the conversation we had, I believe, with the gentleman, Herman, last name,
Cameron. Evolutionary anthropologist. Yeah.
It's about finding your balance, about what is good for you with the water you need to take in. Now, I understand, does everyone need to drink 8 glasses of water a day? Probably not. That feels very, very loosey-goosey for a population of 8+ billion people. But also this whole thing of I'm picky with my water. Okay, what? I don't understand. Okay, I'm going to call a location in Wisconsin out. And okay. I apologize to our bosses that we might get in trouble. We won't. Brookfield has terrible tasting water. And I know when I'm drinking Brookfield water because it all tastes the same, but I still drink it. But when people say there's Evian and I don't like Evian, you're not impressive when you tell me that you can tell this $3 bottle of water from this $3 bottle of water. Put a little flavoring in there, get a soda stream. Oh my gosh.
Lemon.
Oh my gosh, Pete, get yourself a soda stream. It will change your life. You will drink the water. It is super tasty and it's not super sugary. In fact, I don't think it's any sugar at all. It's like natural flavorings, but yes, soda streams are amazing. It'll get you to drink water. Yeah.
Here's where we drink a lot of seltzer water in this house. Mm-hmm. We have been for about 10 years. We're probably spending $50 a week on seltzer, just like the 12 packs. You know, you can get the bubbly or Klarbrunn or whatever. We get the stuff from Aldi, which is cheaper and tastes really good. But I looked into getting a machine that you make your own seltzer water. That was really expensive. So
really?
Kind of, yeah. It was more and a hassle. These just pop out and it's really easy, but yeah, water is expensive. So I started recently getting to, and it's going to get more expensive. So I just started recently just drinking the tap water. As far as I know, here in Christmas City, we have pretty clean tap water. So I'm okay with that.
And see, that's great. I mean, Dom, you always have yours by the ready, so you're good to go, right?
Mm-hmm. I always have Brita. I use Brita water. I got to get out of the tap.
Your generation is great about it. You guys carry around gallon jugs, and I can't even... My kids do that too. And I'm like, I just wouldn't want to carry that around. I'll just go to the sink and drink it. And that's it.
So Pete, let me ask you a really quick question. You said you spend $50 a week for a seltzer water?
Ish. Yeah.
A SodaStream basic pack, with the machine, with the bottle and one CO2 canister, which by the way, when you trade them in, you get them half off. If you go to a place that sells them, $60.
Yeah. But you gotta make it yourself. How long does it take to make?
4 seconds.
No, but it doesn't it? When I was looking at those, you get it and then you have to make it and it makes a certain amount. I can't remember exactly why. It seemed like it was more hassle than it's worth.
I will say this. It's going to save you money in the long run with two purchases. In 2 weeks, it will save you money. And you will drink the same seltzer water And you will use less like recycles. You won't have these bottles sitting around or anything like that. You will. I think it's a great idea. I have one at home. I absolutely love it. But do your thing, Jelly Bean.
Listen,
I'm just
man,
glad you're drinking. I'm just glad you're drinking water. That's what
I'm going to come over. I'd like you to get a couple waters ready. We'll have them. Dom, swing by if you like.
I will.
Bring a Jimmy John's and we'll compare and contrast. I'm not opposed to it. Maybe I'll break down and make my own water.
Maybe we'll get one. When's your birthday, buddy? When's your birthday?
It was a couple weeks ago and nobody remembered. It just made it really hard.
Well, that's...
Next year, I'll come over for water. It's not too much to ask for water on your birthday. Right? So we'll go, Dom, I'll pick you up. Yes. We'll get this Yacht or Hate Triangle thing. I'll pick you up. We'll road trip to Radio Park or to Kenosha.
For water.
And we'll have ourselves some water.
All right.
You leave that jug of yours at home, buddy, because Greg's springing. He's popping for waters.
All right. Well, on that note, when we come back after the 6:30 news, we'll be talking to Martin Alvarado from the Madison Central Library. All great things library. We'll talk poetry, book recommendations, and what's happening at your library. You might find out he makes a list that's always comprehensive. Don't go anywhere. You are listening and or watching Nightlight with Pete Schwab and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network. Stay tuned and stay close. Welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network. You can always get in touch with us, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on that live stream. We are currently streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. Still ahead, we've got the nightcap wrapping it all up, finding out what we've learned and the friends we've made along the way, which is always the important part. And also, you can call, text, leave a voice message, or listen live anywhere in the world by downloading the Civic Media app. Download it wherever you get your apps. It is absolutely free. All right, our next guest, he needs no introduction because he's a friend of the show. He's back. He is the Community Engagement Librarian, Business and Technology at the Madison Central Library. Martin Alvarado is back on the show. Good afternoon / evening, Martin. How are you today?
I am doing wonderful because it just feels like spring. And after all these storms and everything, just having a few like nice days is just a joy to be out there. And it's still sunny and the show's on. So that's always a good sign. Always
put there you go.
Good mood. Everything's peachy.
I love that outlook, that attitude. I couldn't agree more. We had like 45 minutes of really dark, stormy rain yesterday, and then the clouds came away. Bright sunshine again. I'm like, that's the spring I need.
And
so,
we didn't get hit over the head yesterday with a baseball, some unfortunate people did.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We had, I believe senior producer Tucker had some hail issues as well. Yeah, yikes. Anyway,
best wishes to everyone who's just dealing with the aftermath because it's been quite the few days here.
I agree. Martin, you are here tonight. You are here monthly talking about the library in Madison, libraries around the state, but it is National Poetry Month. Why don't we start there?
Yeah, so let's start there. It's 30 years of National Poetry Month. I think it's one of those things where we can remember, like with 1996, what were we doing in 1996? Well, who knows? Some of us might be a little bit fuzzy about those recollections, but it's just one of those.
I was still a reader in 1996. I was still reading books. I miss those days, Mark.
There you go. You can always become a reader. It's like a bicycle, right? Yeah. But well anyway, said. It's one of those things where I think it's just been a good excuse to dig up poems. Maybe not our own personal poetry from high school, but there's definitely some luminaries out there who've put out some great things. And I've prepared a couple of poems. I'm going to read the poem.
Ooh.
And I can't read the whole poem because, copyright and all that good stuff, but you can read excerpts and use it for educational purposes, let's say. So these are just this was written just within the past couple of years, and these are just so powerful. If I must die, let it bring hope, let it be a tale. And I think we can all relate to that. It's just maybe one of those feelings of, I want my life to mean something, but I also want my life to just inspire other people, right? To help them with the hardships.
Yes.
That was written by Rifat Alarir. It's a poem called If I Must Die. And it was written before he was killed in Gaza when there was an Israeli Defense Force strike on his community. I think some people will say it's prophetic, but I think for him, it was just kind of like, these are the anxieties we have. We know there's a non-zero chance that we might not make it to the next day. But I think it's just one of these things when we hear the words, we hear the context, and it just drives a lot of things home. But it's also something that we can think of in other contexts when we look at those words. I have another one. Does my sassiness upset you? Why are you beset with gloom? And I think when we think of Maya Angelou, we think of things that are a little bit more profound. But this was from her poem, Still I Rise, about Black women in America, not giving up, the legacy of slavery. So it goes down to a lot of these places that are maybe difficult to approach if we're just thinking of them directly, right? But for me, the way I read it is, haters gonna hate. Like, she just said it poetically, mm-hmm. and that's what I get from this. And the rest of the poem is definitely worth taking a look. And this is, I think, one that it's very near and dear to my heart. It was featured in the movie Interstellar with Michael Caine. Mm-hmm. And he kept repeating this, right? It's the apocalypse. The Earth is just burning, and they're sending Matthew McConaughey into space. And this line gets repeated over and over. Do not go gentle into that good night. Rage, rage against the dying of the light.
Yeah.
Just goosebumps and everything. But if you remember, there was this movie from the 1980s filmed right here in Madison where Rodney Dangerfield, back to school, it's, they make up like a fake name for UW and it's filmed like at the College Club and other places. And this is at mm-hmm. one point. During the, it's one of the climaxes of the movie to see if he's actually learned something in school. He's bored of examinations and he just gives like a fiery rendition of this. And then he tells like his advisor teacher, he goes, so this means I don't have to take any bleep from anyone, right? So, I just love the fact that like this is Dylan Thomas and it's just one of those poems that I think just surfaces in everywhere, even in comedies, even in places where you would think it doesn't really fit. And I think that's the thing about poetry, you can take it heartfeltly, you can take it mm-hmm. ironically, but it always just gives something to the moment or to different works of art, too.
I love that you chose two more modern poems because when I was in college a long time ago, a lot of my English classes, if it was a poetry class, it was all Dylan Thomas or John Keats or you know, whomever, and they're great. That any poetry I memorized were the greats from back then, you know, Ode on a Grecian Urn and or Matthew Arnold Dover Beach or Dylan Thomas, this great line. But I want to ask you, you were talking about the seasons. For whatever reason, when I was younger, Martine, I used to like to read poetry during the winter. I don't know if it helped me get through the winter or it made me less sad, but what is the best time of year to read poetry or a certain type of poetry as far as you're concerned? Because you obviously have stayed with it, which is amazing.
I mean, I think it has to do a lot with, like, there's literally a poet and a poem for any time, any circumstance in your life. For loss, definitely there's so many poems that can just really bring a little bit more of a sense of closure when there's loss, and those just come up in those circumstances. I think some of the ones, like, going into spring that the Henry Wadsworth about the daffodils and things. I don't remember exactly. My grandma used to have it memorized and would just bring it out from time to time. But I think it's interesting when you think of that poem, you think of it as a young person, everything's flowering. And when you think of it as an adult, the springtime poem, it's just like, oh, well, it's just the yearning for the time that has passed from when I was young and fresh, right? So I don't know about the seasonality, but I think it's more or less one of those, I think, when we're trying to make sense of something in our life. It could be like some relationship. It could be some event. It's just one of those times when we reach for something else.
Yeah. I think that what's very interesting, too, is that this is now the second back-to-school reference that's been made on this show because I didn't know it was filmed in Madison. Pete, you brought it up last. It was blown because I'm like, I've seen that movie so many times. I had no idea it was set in Madison. But speaking of poetry and specifically the first one, I got a book for Christmas that I saw in a Madison bookshop called Japanese Death Poems. It's written by a series of philosophers, Japanese men and women, philosophers, thinkers, scholars, just on the notion of death and like looking at it from the most, like from both a spiritual, but also, as you said, a non-zero chance of escaping it. So it's like, when I know those things, how do I see this irrefutable fact, this unescapable moment where I will cease to be? How do I approach it? And it's just a book of poetry about that topic, written from people who really sit and think on it. And I've read a couple so far, and they're just beautiful because they just make you think, yeah, this is what's going to happen. And again, like, I love that last line, let it be, or what you read of the last line, let it be a tale. Let your life be worth something talked. Let your life be something worth talking about. So that's beautiful. I love it.
Yeah, I think what was the thing of like, oh, if you really wanted to know what thing was on the, how the moon was, you should have sent a poet, right? Like, to, and I think to a certain extent, like Neil Armstrong had a great catchphrase. You could think of it as poetry originally in space. It's more like a factual statement. But yeah, I think that's one of the things with poets. It's one of those things like, probably not going to get rich being a poet. There are a few exceptions, but it's something that people just craft and take with them. And I'm not one of those people that has the need to write every day, but I know people who just every day take out their notebook and they're writing something and they're refining it and they're just really working that. And then when it's ready, they present it, or sometimes they just write it for themselves because it's the way that they process the world. But so yeah, poetry is just one of those things that...
Martin Alvarado is with us right now. He handles community engagement for the Madison Public Library, and he is here once a month talking about books. And tonight we're talking about poetry. Specific to seasons, I guess, maybe what I should have... There's a great poem by Wordsworth called "The World is Too Much With Us." And I am reminded of that because my college professor said that's when things get so crazy and the problems become modern day. And we are far away from nature. That poem has stuck with me all these years because now more than ever, the world is too much with us. Cell phones, flat screen TVs, iPads. We can't get away from the world. So I just thought that was interesting. I don't know what your opinion is on Wordsworth.
I guess I have a lot of knowledge of Latin American poets because that's where a lot of my cultural references come from. So I wouldn't be able to answer that question. Some of the ones that I really look up to are the ones that were writing right before the fascists took over in Spain and during the fascist regimes. And then they just have these allegories of like, well, just all the suffering we're going to endure, the Pope springs eternal, you know, all those things I think that are universal to things. But I think just when people are put into these positions of a lot of restrictions, I think some of the really powerful work comes from.
Mark in Prairie du Sac sent a text message just now. It says, my father was a fan of Robert Service, and I remember reading, quote, "The Cremation of Sam McGee" in seventh or eighth grade. Service's March of the Dead is a powerful portrayal of the cost of war. And I did not delve deep into poetry. I have a lot of friends who are very good poets, and they're also very good at interpreting. I remember in high school I took a poetry class, and I read a poem that was written about John F. Kennedy's assassination, and the poem itself is written in the form where it looks like a folded American flag, so it's in that triangle formation. And I remember reading that poem, being very struck by it. I wish now I can remember anything about it. I'm embarrassed the fact I can't remember it, but we had to write a poem, so I wrote a poem in reference to that. And it was so powerful for my poetry teacher that he actually read it for like the next 4 years to his classes. And to this day, I still try to find that poem somewhere in a box of memories, hoping that I can find it, because I want to be like, I actually wrote a poem, and it was kind of good, maybe. But I love poetry in a very surfacey sense, because I feel like it can sometimes be very daunting. There's a lot of interpretation. There's a lot of folks out there who goes, well, actually, what they're trying to say is, I'm like, no, I just like the way it makes me feel when I read the words. That's all that matters, right, Martin?
Yeah, it's where it takes us. And I think I had a quick suggestion for reading The Poet's House. It's a novel, and it's sort of an outsider who sort of stumbles into this rarefied world of poets who meet in these secret committees and then have all these fights and romances and everything. So that's Gene Thompson, The Poet's House. That's like a more contemporary book. I also have The Savage Detectives, which is probably my favorite novel of all time. It's just madcap, these poets in Mexico, and then there's all these things where they're pursuing this like poet that they idolize, and then there's a little bit of espionage around the globe in Uganda and Israel and Europe. So it's if you want a caper, The Savage Detectives is just going to keep you going, and it has poetry kind of at its sense. It also has coming of age parts. It's amazing.
Wonderful.
That's awesome. Well, I didn't mean to geek out too much about Wordsworth. Sorry about that. Hey, I got a little excited, but
don't apologize for loving art. You. That's great. Martin, as always, this time goes by so fast. We will talk to you next month. Martin Alvarado is the tech librarian at the Madison Public Library. We will put all the information he suggested in our show notes, so don't go anywhere. Stick around. When we come back, it's time for the nightcap. Read your text messages and find out what we learned right here on Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe and Greg Bach on the Civic Media Network. Stay tuned. Stay close. Have a great night, Martine.
Thank you. See you next time.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Oh yeah, welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network, Big Daddy O's. I'm sorry, I'm really bad at that kind of talk.
Wolfman Jack.
Okay. Yeah, welcome back to the show, everybody. We are coming to you live from Wisconsin, the Yoderhey Triangle, Racine Radio Park. We got Pete Schwalbe up in Marinette, Christmas City, USA, and then all the way over in Madison at Civic Media World Headquarters, Mr. Dom Lee on the ones and twos. Always be part of the conversation. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on that live stream. We are currently streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. Plus, always take a listen. You can listen to us anywhere in the world. You can listen to the music. You can listen to the talk shows. You can get your news by getting the Civic Media app. You can also call, text, and leave voice messages there as well. So you are set. Thank you for being here tonight. We really appreciate you. On tomorrow's show, that's right, we have a tomorrow show. That's how great we are. They're giving us another one.
Love it.
We'll be talking to Rachel Bernhard, who is the dining critic for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. She'll be here to give us restaurant recommendations and tell us about some of her recent articles. It's great talks with her. She's fantastic. What I like about Rachel is she loves food, she loves writing, but she's not a snooty critic. She's not like, oh, I've been to that place. It's not good. She loves food. She loves talking about it. And that's, for me, the important part. So she'll be here tomorrow night. We're very much looking forward to that. Very much hope you join us as well. We'll have another question of the night. We'll have the nightcap. We'll have so much more fun. And guys, it's Thursday. You know what that means. Nightlight. The Nightlight Movie Club with Mr. Dom Lee's selection, The Breakfast Club, which I'm very much looking forward to hearing your thoughts, Dom, on this one, because almost all of us have been through the high school experience, but all three of us in different decades, different experiences. So I want to know what your thoughts are on that movie. I can't wait to talk to you about that. That's all tomorrow. Right now, let's get to some leftover text messages. Not like leftover, like we didn't want to. Didn't get a chance to get to them. Did we have any more on the text line, Dom?
It looks like we have a few. We have John Murray from Madison said, hard to not love an actor that sells it so hard that they really become the character.
There you go.
That's very true. And then Nick
from yeah, there you go. Sorry,
Duncan. He said Nick from Marshall said anger management.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yep. That was
Sandler.
Sandler, the Sandman.
We've got a few on social media here. Vince Moranto, very funny. Vince Moranto says cuckoo's nest. Of course, he means one flew over the cuckoo's nest. Mm-hmm. Ask your mother. Frontman Eric Rathsack says as good as it gets. Another vote for as good as it gets. Matt Harper, Green Bay rock rap artist, says The Departed. He says, my all-time favorite. Love it. And finally, Marina Fraser on social media says, happy birthday, Jack. All right. Thank you, Marina. Thank you, everybody. Great
love
stuff.
Love it. Thank you so much for everyone for reaching out. We appreciate you. Pete, what did you learn?
I learned that there's been about a 40-year gap since I've heard the name of a new poet. So I really liked having Martine on tonight. He's always fun. And Mike Clemens educated us about sports.
Yeah.
I learned about a soda water. I learned a lot of stuff today.
There you go.
I feel like I just went back to school. Hey. Call back. Flip it, Dom.
Are you listening, WBA? Oh, my goodness. That's so funny. Dom, what did you learn this evening?
I actually never heard of...
He never learned anything.
No, I usually never do. No,
I don't really listen to the show, guys.
Jolt Cola. Never heard of it.
Yeah.
Had no clue it existed until today. So
I don't think it does anymore.
Oh, here's the thing. Look here. Does Jolt Cola still exist? That's the top line. Yes, you can buy Jolt Cola, but but it has returned as of 2024 as a zero sugar 16-ounce energy. Oh, that
defeats the purpose.
Caffeine-free Jolt.
It basically they turned Jolt into a podcast. Boo.
That's boo. Really
no, thank you. Can I tell you a really funny Jolt Cola story before we get out of here?
Yes.
Yeah, if you tell us what you learned too.
I'll tell you that after I'll tell you that after I tell the story. So back in the day, I would go to the market and buy Jolt Cola with my own paper route money because I knew my parents didn't want me drinking it. We were like a Diet Coke family. And I would drink this stuff and then put the cans back into the little, like, you know, dolphin killing holders. And I would hide them under my bed. Don't ask me why. I have no idea why. Because I was afraid I was going to get in trouble. That's why. But that was a stupid reason to do that. But I had like 2 or 3 six packs empty under my bed. And I'm mowing the lawn one day. And my mom is walking out with her hands behind her back. I'm like, oh no, what's happening right now? She goes, do you want to explain this? And I'm like, wait, what? I'm not hiding. Like, I'm trying to think. Like, there are no dirty magazines. I don't smoke cigarettes. There's no drugs. And she pulls out 2 empty six packs of Jolt. She goes, why are these under your bed? I go, I really don't know. And I think she was disappointed that I didn't even have an answer.
Wow.
Why did I hide empty six packs of Jolt Cola?
Where did you hide your Playboys? That's my.
What was that?
Where did you hide your Playboys?
Inside the Jolt Cola cans. That's where I hid them. Very tiny. They were tiny little booklets. They were like tiny little Playboy, you know, just the interviews. It was just the articles. Just the articles. What did I learn? You know what I learned, guys? When I came onto the show today, I was having kind of a rough, not great day. It was like a middling, like, ugh, frustrated, not getting a lot done. But I'm going to tell you this. Hang out with friends for 2 hours, have great conversations, have a good time, make a lot of laughs, and talk about the movie Back to School a couple times, and it makes your day go better. That's what I learned today.
Really good answer. Wow.
I'm speechless.
Yeah,
I'm
I am speech. Too.
That was beautiful.
It's really good.
And the Thank soda you, stream is amazing. So
you already, knew that, though.
But I already knew that, though. I'm in the pocket of Big Soda Stream. All right, folks. On behalf of Pete, I'd like to thank, well, we'd like to thank, because it's on behalf of, I'd like to thank Dom, Tucker, Engineering and Traffic with all the work they do. They make sure these microphones are on when we get in the booth. Want to thank everybody who got in touch with us on the live stream, on the text line, everyone who called in. Unfortunately, Jeff, we weren't able to get your call. But hey, if you're listening right now, send in your thoughts on your favorite Jack Nicholson movie. We'd love to hear from you still. Thanks to everyone. Without you, there is absolutely no us. So we really appreciate you being a part of the program. Remember, tomorrow we're going to be talking to Milwaukee Journal Sentinel food critic Rachel Bernhard here on the program. So we hope to see you tomorrow. And don't forget, after us, still great programming. So have a wonderful night. We'll talk to you tomorrow for the Movie Club Breakfast Club. Pete, say goodnight to the folks.
Good night, Wisconsin.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.